وایشنوی میده که نام چرا یه هایی رو پکر آبو ایدیسان بوده باید که
Hare Krishna. No, it's working. Okay, it's had to turn it on. All right. So today we're reading from Canto 3, Chapter 22, Text 5, from the marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. Tava Sandarshana Deva. Chichina Me Sarvasamshaya. Yat Swayam Bhagavan Pritya Dharman Aha Rirakshisho Tava Sadarshana Eva Chichina Me Sarvasamshaya Yat Swayam Bhagavan Pritya Dharmanaha Virakshisho. Okay, please repeat. Tavasardashana Deva. Chiname Sarvasamshaya. Yatswayam Bhagavan Pritya. Dharma Maha Virakshisho. Any ladies want to chant? Tava Sandarshana Deva Chiname Sarvasamshaya Yatswayam Bhagavan Pritya Dharmanaha Rirakshisho Tava Sandarshana Deva Chena Me Sarvasamshaya Yatsoyam Bhagavan Pritya Dharma Mahari Rakshisho Tava Sandarshana Deva Chiname Sarvasamshaya Yatswayam Bhagavan Pritya Dharmanaha Vibhakshisho Tava Your Sandarshanat By sight Eva Only Chinna Resolved Me My Sarvasamshaya, all doubts. Yet, inasmuch, inasmuch as, Swayam, personally, Bhagavan, your lordship, Pritya, lovingly, Dharmam, duty, Aha, explained, Rirakshisho, of a king anxious to protect his subjects. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Translation by Srila Prabhupada, now I have resolved all my doubts simply by meeting you. For your lordship has very kindly and clearly explained the duty of a king who desires to protect his subjects. Please repeat. Now I have resolved all my doubts simply by seeing you. For your lordship has very kindly and clearly explained the duty of a king who desires to protect his subjects. purport by Srila Prabhupada. Manu described herewith the result of seeing a great saintly person. And of course, Manu is the king, and he's speaking with Kardama Muni. Lord Chaitanya says that one should always try to associate with saintly persons, because if one establishes a proper association with a saintly person, even for a moment, he attains all perfection. Somehow or other, if one meets a saintly person and achieves his favor, then the entire mission of his human life is fulfilled. In our personal experience, we have actual proof of this statement of Manu. Once we have the opportunity to meet Vishnupad Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, and on first sight he requested this humble self to preach his message in the Western countries. There was no preparation for this, but somehow or other he desired it. And by his grace, we are now engaged in executing his order, which has given us a transcendental occupation and has saved and liberated us from this occupation of material activities. Thus, it is actually a fact that if one meets a saintly person completely engaged in transcendental duties and achieves his favor, then one's life's mission becomes complete. What is not possible to achieve in thousands of lives can be achieved in one moment if there is an opportunity to meet a saintly person. It is therefore enjoined in Vedic literature that one should always try to associate with saintly persons and try to disassociate oneself from the common man, because by one word of a saintly person, one can be liberated from material entanglement. A saintly person has the power, because of his spiritual advancement, to give immediate liberation to the conditioned soul. Here Manu admits that all his doubts are now over because Kardama has very kindly described the different duties of individual souls. Omangita tamarandasya gana gana salakaya chakshur anmilitam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. Says in 112, completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavat Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is a reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need for any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. So this is a very special conversation. It's called Bhakti Karya, between the king and Kardama Muni. It explains that in Vedic civilization, the king protected the brahmana, and the brahmana was able to instruct the king in such a way that the population could be advanced in spiritual life. So I just love this verse, because all of us have been able to come to Krishna consciousness in the same way, in a moment, really, you know, or in a few moments. But the first verse that came to mind was sadhu sanga, sarva shastra kai, lava matra sadhu sanga, sarva siddhi hoy. So sarva sanga, of course, is association with a devotee, with a pure devotee. And also lava matra sadhusanga, that means one moment. Does anybody know how much one moment is? What is one moment? Anybody know that? Okay, one moment is 1/11th of a second. That's a very, very short amount of time. But it explains in this verse that it's enough. That kind of association is enough to totally perfect your life, totally uproot the three miseries. So it's so special to have that kind of association. So I was researching, like the Bhagavad Gita verse 254, and that verse it's being asked. So what is it like for a person in transcendental consciousness? You know, How does he look? And how does he walk? How does he sit? You know, what does he say? You know, a person, so, and we think of Srila Prabhupada and so many other great sages, you know, how they spoke and how they walked. In reading some of the descriptions of devotees who met Srila Prabhupada in the early days, they described when they saw him, it looked like someone just kind of floating very fluidly, right? And even though he was old, he seemed untouched by old age. And the way they talk, well, another verse came to mind, Vacho Vega Manasa Krodha Vegam, Etam Vegan Yo Visa Hetadira Sarvam Apimam Pridivim Shishat, that says a sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, and the actions of anger and the urge of the tongue, belly, and genitals is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So if we take a look at that, tolerate, you know, the urge to speak. In other words, you know, very thoughtful before we speak. And the actions of anger, you know, anger can arise very quickly. It can do a lot of damage. But if anger is used in the service of Krishna, then it's glorified. Just like, you know, Prabhupada sometimes would become angry about something, but it just arose to prove a point, and then after that it was gone. It didn't stay in his heart because his heart was so full of Krishna that, you know, he didn't hang on to it. And also if we see in the time of Lord Ramachandra how Hanuman became very angry at the kidnapping of Sita, and he ended up, you know, going through and the town and lighting everything on fire. So that's how he was able to use anger in Krishna's service. So, and the tongue we can use. How can we use the tongue in Krishna's service? Anybody want to? Taking prasadam. That's right. Taking prasadam, and you know, and also in preaching. So we see that Prabhupada did that. And there's another verse, Ma chitta makata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayanta chinam nicham tushanti cha ramanti cha, where Krishna says that the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered unto me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So this is our real business in our lives, is being able to use our tongue, you know, for taking prasadam and actually also offering prasadam. I was reading about King Prithu, very, very famous king. And, of course, King Prithu became the king after the reign of King Vena. And the reign of King Vena was very evil. You know, he was the son of sin personified and King Anga. And King Anga did everything he could to try and reform his son. He tried, you know, positive affirmation, but that didn't work. And he tried punishment, and that didn't work. So finally, King Anga, he went off to the forest, and he just meditated on Krishna and was able to perfect his life. And in the purport to that verse, Prabhupada said that Krishna arranged all this difficulty for King Anga just so that he would go to the forest and meditate. So sometimes when difficulty comes into our lives and we can't understand, like, you know, we're trying so hard to make something right and it doesn't go right, it's meant for Krishna. You know, he's trying to bring us closer to him in some way. He's trying to help us take shelter. So King Prithu, he was the next one in line after King Vena, and the kingdom was in pretty much of disarray. You know, a lot of crime, a lot of violence. People were very disturbed. But when King Prithu came, he came with him just so much goodness. You know, he was able to preach to the population, and he was able to speak to them about performing their prescribed duties, and that they're prescribed by performing the prescribed duties and using them as an offering to the Supreme Lord, that they could perfect their life. So he was such a good example himself, And he was able to eradicate a lot of the, you know, the crime and the violence and all those things that were going on during the reign of King Vanus. So these kinds of kings, he was actually considered King Prithu, a Shaktivesh avatar. So he was a direct, you know, empowered by Krishna to be able to do this. And so we see the difference now between government now and government then. He was a Raja Rishi. He was a king that was empowered by God. And so we see other examples of kings that were able to bring about, you know, such a change and such an upliftment in human society. So this is what Srila Prabhupada also brought. He was able to transform the lives of so many people by his pure example. And, you know, there's many, many stories of devotees who were able to bring about so much change. It's explained that when Lord Chaitanya was on the planet, just by his presence, just by people looking at him, they became pure devotees. And they began chanting, you know, Hare, Hare, and Krishna, Krishna, just by his presence. And when those people became empowered by Lord Chaitanya, they subsequently went to other villages and they made those people devotees. And there are some theological interpretations that say that actually everyone that was on the planet at that time of Lord Chaitanya was on the planet, they also became pure devotees. So we see that too with Prabhupada's, the Shakti that he had, and just in a very short amount of time, how people were completely transformed in their lives, and how they were also able to go out and, you know, make devotees. And those devotees were able, sometimes even just recently I heard of someone who became a devotee because a so-called bloop devotee, you know, told them about Krishna, gave them a book, and, you know, they came and they took the process very seriously. So these qualities of a pure devotee, Titikshava Karunika, what's the next verse? Pardon? Titikshava Karunika, Suhridam, Sarvadehinam. So is that a pure devotee that he's tolerant, he's merciful, and that he's a friend of all living entities, everyone, not just humans, but every 8,400,000 species of life, even animals. Specifically in that purport, it speaks that he's also a friend of the animals. So we saw that with Shivananda Sen, and we see that with other devotees with their animals. You know, but with Shivananda Sen, he was in a traveling Sankirtan party, and the dog, you know, a street dog, just kind of followed along. And Shivananda took mercy on him, and he began to feed him and take care of him. But when they wanted to cross the river, the boatman wouldn't let the dog go on the boat. So Shivananda Sen gave him some money and had somebody take care of him. But somehow or other, it didn't happen. He crossed, but the person didn't take care of him. So Shivananda Sen was in so much anxiety because he had taken on this important duty of taking care of the dog, that in one place it said he sent out 10 men, in another place it said he sent out 100 men to find the dog. But when they finally located the dog was in the presence of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya was throwing coconut pulp, and the dog was eating this coconut pulp, and in his way, chanting Hare Krishna. Anybody want to try that? Chanting like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know, in his barking way. So the mercy of the devotees extends to everyone. And we see, like with Prahlad Maharaj also, in his verse, Shrishastavisvasya Kalam Prasidatam, Dhyanta Bhutani, Chachamat, Manaschabajam Manato. Anyway, the translation of the verse is, can anybody else say the verse? Anyone else know that verse? Vishastavisham. Manaschabajam Manato. Aveshitam nomater apihaituki. So in that verse, it's Prahlad Maharaj says, may good fortune fall upon everyone. May all envious people be satisfied. May everyone take up the practice of bhakti yoga, because by practicing bhakti yoga, everyone will become peaceful. Becoming peaceful will think of everyone's welfare and that way bring peace to the world. So I try to say that verse every day because the world, is we can see, is so much in need of that kind of peace. Also, like, we see characters like King Ambarish, you know, who was so kind and so forgiving, because in the story of King Ambarish, Durvasa Muni came to visit, and before he took prasadam, he went with his disciples to take bath. And Maharaj Ambarish had been fasting for Ekadashi, and he was ready to break the fast, but Durvasa Muni didn't show up. So he thought, well, I'll just drink some water. He was advised by other brahmanas, just have a little bit of water. So that's like breaking the fast and not breaking the fast. But when Durvasa Muni returned, by his mystic power, he was able to see that King Ambarish had broken the fast. So he took it as a great insult. And he decided that he would punish him. So he pulled out a hair. He created a huge demon to go after King Ambarish. But King Ambarish was not disturbed in the least, you know, because he was so connected with Krishna that he wasn't disturbed by it. Hard to understand that. But because he's a great devotee of Krishna, Krishna sent his Sudarshan after the demon and destroyed it. And then it went after Durvasa Muni. So Durvasa Muni started to, like, travel throughout the universe trying to find shelter everywhere. You know, this demigod, that demigod, finally went to Lord Narayana. Lord Narayana said also that he was unable to give him shelter, that he would have to go to the devotee himself and seek forgiveness. So that's what he did. Devastated him, and he went to Ambarish and asked for forgiveness. And without any hesitation, Ambarish Maharaj was able to forgive him. So that's another quality of devotee. Actually, it's described, I believe, in the Nectar Devotion, that it's the most important quality of devotee is that forgiveness. So that can be a hard one sometimes to be able to follow, but we do have those kinds of examples. So I thought what I would also do is read some of the stories of devotees who, when they first saw Srila Prabhupada. So I'll start with myself. I was in Miami in 1970, I guess it was 74 or 5, and the temple president, Abhiram, he asked Nartaka Gopal and I if, when Prabhupada came through the airport doors, if we would throw flowers and rose water as Prabhupada walked. So it was quite an honor. And when Prabhupada came through the doors and a crowd of devotees were there waiting, and Nartaka and I are doing that, I was like stunned, you know. I was stunned. I could hardly move. And I realized at that moment that this was the first time in my life that I wasn't disappointed. That every other, you know, so-called big event in my life, I always felt it was somewhat lacking. But this event was so much more than I had expected. And so many devotees had that same experience. Like Krishna Rupa, she said the first time she saw Srila Prabhupada, that whatever doubt she may have had, they totally evaporated. Hayagriva, he saw Srila Prabhupada crossing the street and described him as having an aura of saintliness and walking with fluidity and otherworldly grace, like a man untouched by age. Divyanga Prabhu, he said he felt that Prabhupada looked right into his soul, causing him almost to faint from intensity. Niranjana Swami, his first meeting with Srila Prabhupada, well, I'll read more about him after. And Satsrupa Maharaj, it was kind of funny, Satsrupa Maharaj said that he saw a little paper, and it said, Bhagavad Gita class on sound vibration every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So he decided that he would go to that class. So he went there. He sat down, And Roy Rahm asked him what his name. He said, my name is Steve. He said that Swami would be right out. So when Prabhupada came out and sat down and began to speak, Satchamar said he was struck because he heard about yoga and he heard about gurus, but he had never really been in the presence of one. He said Prabhupada had these little, he called them genie shoes, little white genie shoes that he never saw before or after, and that Prabhupada exuded like a no-nonsense attitude, and of course a lot of mercy as well. So he, you know, he would listen to class. He'd come so often, and there was going to be an initiation, but he didn't go to the initiation. He said he would only go to something if he was invited. So then Prabhupada said to him one day, "If you love me, then I'll love you." You know, so Satchitananda said that really struck him. And then he asked, you know, could I get initiated next time? And Prabhupada said, yes, as long as you're following the principles, which he was. So Satchitananda, he always followed Prabhupada. Prabhupada once gave him a name. He called him, what was the name of the famous person, Pushkar? Oh yeah, Isaac Newton. He gave him the name of Isaac Newton because Satchitananda was helping to cook and he was cutting a cucumber crosswise and Prabhupada said, why are you cutting the cucumber that way? He goes, well, that's how I learned how to do it. He goes, no. He said, you're never going to learn in 100 years. And Satchitananda said, no, I'll learn. He goes, you're Isaac Newton. Isaac Newton was a genius. But the example was giving that once he had two cats. He had a big cat and a little cat. So he asked the carpenter if he could make two doors, one for the little cat and one for the big cat, instead of making one door that both cats could go through. So Prabhupada, he loved Satchitananda. Once Satchitananda said to Prabhupada, you know, my father told me that if I stay with this movement, he'll have nothing to do with me. And he said, Prabhupada had a little twinkle in his eye, and he said, that's all right, you know, it's okay. So in other devotees, he would encourage them, you know, to contact with their parents, but Satchitananda said he wrote to Prabhupada one day, and he said, Prabhupada, are you my father? Prabhupada said, yes, I'm your true father, and you're my true son. He said, I'm your eternal father. And you're my eternal son. He said, all the other relationships are very ephemeral and temporary. So that's a lesson for us. You know, of course, all these pastimes are lessons for us. So let me just read a couple of other stories of devotees that this was Niranjana Swami. And he... said, they were waiting for Prabhupada, and he said, you should go downstairs with everybody else. We immediately understood why that was nobody at the airport gate, because everybody was downstairs waiting for Prabhupada at the baggage claim area. So when we went downstairs, there were actually at least 150 devotees, the senior devotees, sannyasis, and they were all waiting for Prabhupada by the gate. When the flight arrived, Prabhupada was supposed to come down at this particular escalator, and we were all waiting for him at the bottom of the escalator with kirtan. Everybody was coming down from the flight, but not Prabhupada. All of a sudden, way off in the distance, someone spotted Prabhupada. He came down a different way. He tricked us. And the 150 devotees moved like a swarm of honeybees. Guru Maharaj laughs. They were jumping over the baggage carousels. They were pushing through people, and everybody was just running like a complete mob to greet Prabhupada. This is my first time seeing Srila Prabhupada. I've been serving him for 2 years already. So finally, I ran with everybody else to see him and immediately fell to the ground to offer my dandavats. Of course, I was emotional. He was just the most beautiful object that I've ever seen with these two eyes. He had his cane, and when he was walking, he seemed not to step onto the floor. And of course, a lot of people mentioned that. It seemed that sometimes that Prabhupada didn't touch the ground, just like that was described about King Yudhis there. Said, after that, Prabhupada left and went out to the car, and I got to walk just practically right behind him. Prabhupada was walking very quickly with his cane and I was running. I experienced that I couldn't keep up with him. It was almost like he defied the laws of gravity. And I immediately understood this is someone who is from the spiritual world. So, this is a wonderful story too. This is by Chavana Swami. And he describes, this is in 1965, he said, "That day, 52 years ago, when the two ships met, my life changed forever. I was stationed aboard a Coast Guard cutter at Boston Harbor, and on September 17, 1965, when Srila Prabhupada's Jaladuta was moved from the anchorage over to Constitution Wharf, my ship was docked at the base nearby. I was on duty on the quarterdeck. It's a maritime, a sea custom that when two ships pass, they offer a salute by lowering, then raising again the flag at the stern of the ship. So I offered the American flag to Srila Prabhupada's Jaladuta in this tradition, and when I looked up, I was looking directly at him, and he was looking directly at me. I was transfixed by his effulgence and stood frozen in time as his ship passed. He acknowledged the greeting by slightly raising his left hand, palm outward. I will never forget that moment. This is a picture of the original Jaladuta. So he said, at that time, I had no idea who he was, rather than a holy man from India. Constitution Wharf is located at the mouth of the Mystic River and the Coast Guard base, only a few hundred yards across. 6 years later, I was initiated also in Boston. So again, that idea of seeing the pure devotee, how transformational it is and how it can bring us to the highest perfection of life. Of course, someone might say, well, these people got to see Prabhupada's physical presence. So how is it that we can see Prabhupada? How can we have that same experience today? So who can answer that question? How can we see Prabhupada today? Yes, Jai Radhe. That's right. So through Srila Prabhupada's other devotees, like it explains the importance of serving the devotees, like Narada Muni, just a young boy, and his mother was killed by a snake, and so he was all alone, but he had been serving with his mother, the pure devotees, and he just continued to do that, to serve the pure devotees, and ultimately he got darshan of Krishna himself. So it's described that there's the Bhagavat book, and then there's the person Bhagavat. So by serving the person Bhagavat, we can also reach that level. We can become totally purified if we become servants of the pure devotee. And a pure devotee is someone who is taken Srila Prabhupada's instructions to heart, following those instructions. So they're in that line, and if we serve those devotees, we can also imbibe those qualities of mercy, of tolerance, of forgiveness to everyone. Okay, this was a description by Adi Dave, our very own Adi Dave in our community. So he said, "The first time I physically saw Srila Prabhupada was in the New York Temple on Henry Street in 1972, right after Ratha Yatra. I had met devotees in Texas, and they had encouraged me to go and meet Prabhupada. I went with my sculptor teacher, who later became Murti Das, and we weren't there 20 minutes before we were escorted up into Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada wasn't there as he was downstairs. When I first saw him, we were just standing there, mesmerized like deer in a headlight. Prabhupada was dressed in his gumsha, and he had his Brahmin thread wrapped around his ear. We both hit the floor. At that point, we didn't even know the prayers, so we just mumbled some nondescript words. My first impression of Prabhupada was how regal he was, even in this very domestic situation. The first words out of his mouth were, 'I'm not a king. This is not for me. This is an educational facility for teaching Krishna consciousness.' He could tell my teacher and I were pretty wound up, and so he immediately started with small talk. We went into his room, and he just started asking us about Vishujan Swami and about Texas. 'Is it hot there? Do you like wearing dhotis in Texas?' That sort of broke the ice. Then Prabhupada asked his secretary, Aravindya, to bring in a drawing of Panchatattva. Prabhupada knew we were sculptors, and so we said, 'Can you do this? Can you produce these? We'd like to put them in our temples all over the world.' I had done a little figurative work and taken a lot of live drawing, but I had never done clay figurative pieces. I said, yes, Prabhupada, we can do it. Murti Das was a little wiser than I, so he said, we'll try. Prabhupada even gave us a size, about 40 inches. Years later, we produced a set of Panchatattva for Hawaii, and before we sent them, we measured them, and they were about 40 inches. We hadn't planned on it, but it just happened that way. So there were so many examples of this, of devotees who, for example, you know, they didn't have any experience working at a printing press, but Prabhupada is able to empower anyone who is sincere and seeking his mercy to help push on this movement. So I asked him to put up this verse, just the purport, actually. If you can put up the purport for that verse. 5:12:13. Oh, it's hard to read it, isn't it? Okay, I don't have the verse. Okay, so I'll just kind of describe what it says. Prabhupada says that, you know, well, the symptoms of a pure devotee, and then he explains that devotees, they don't get involved in politics. You know, they don't squabble over that. And I thought it was appropriate because these days in our political situation, there's a lot of people who've taken sides, and it's caused, you know, a lot of breaks in relationships as a result. So what Prabhupada always emphasizes is that it's important for us just to, you know, again, machita makata prana, to completely absorb ourselves in talking about Krishna and serving Krishna, and that's the best way to help the world. He says, things will go along in their own way. We can't really change the course of the way things are going. And sometimes, at its worst, I remember I was shocked reading the Bhagavatam and reading that in the time when Hiranyakashipu was present, that the demigods and Narada Muni were paying their obeisances to Hiranyakashipu. It was like shocking to me, like Narada Muni, you know? So sometimes we may find ourselves, you know, subjugated in a certain way due to the government. Just like before King Prithu was ruling the kingdom and Vena was ruling the kingdom, there was so many problems. But ourselves, our business is to always remember Krishna. Never, never forget Krishna. That's our business in this world. I'll read one more story, and then if anybody has any questions or comments, or you want to share your own experience of becoming a devotee or what it was like when you first met Prabhupada, that would be fantastic. So this is Rupa Vilas. He says, I waited expectantly on the temple steps for my first sight of Srila Prabhupada. I had seen his picture, read some of his writings, and heard his powerful chanting. I was impressed by what I had heard up to that point. I had also heard some of the teachings of other gurus, but I wasn't very impressed with them. I didn't know what to expect, although I was convinced about the effects of chanting Hare Krishna. Then Srila Prabhupada stepped out of the car, and my world changed. I had never bowed down to anyone before, but I could immediately understand that he was that person I had been seeking, perhaps for lifetimes. And Prabhupada talks about this, how some devotees, their big problem was bowing down. They didn't like that idea of bowing down to anybody. They didn't like it. So Prabhupada said, but you're always bowing down. You bow down to death. You bow down to old age. You know, so why not bow down to something that's going to help you? So for some people, it was easy to bow down. So he says, I fell down to the ground and bowed down to him without reservation. He moved with a fluid, otherworldly grace as though he were in a three-day film or a hologram projected from another world to the earth. Immediately, I began to understand what it meant to be in the world but not of it. I dashed to the temple room, fighting for a spot near his Vyasa-san, an unusual and colorful op art creation. As he walked down the middle of the temple room after greeting the Radha Govinda deities, he glanced left and right, and I had the same experience as many other devotees have reported. His eyes were filled with love and compassion, and he seemed to scan us and see deeply into our hearts. I was left feeling simultaneously exposed and blessed by his glance. So, the amazing experience of having association with the Pure Devotee, would anyone like to add anything or explain their own experience meeting Srila Prabhupada or getting Srila Prabhupada's books and how that influenced you? Okay, Jai Radhe. Yay. Thanks to the people that came today, thank you, because many people are suffering from spiritual exhaustion, and I knew today would be like one of those days.
The first time I met Srila Prabhupada was in 1992 through his books. And I was very dyslexic. I never read a book in my life.
And how did you get the book?
I got the book from praying to Jesus. I asked Jesus, I was trying to read the Bible, I couldn't get anything. I just kept getting to the begetting section, you know.
Wow.
And actually my intention when I prayed was to understand. I asked for the original truth. And I really meant of the Bible. I just had this feeling that Jesus, that he wasn't there his whole life in the Bible. I just felt the book was changed. That was my feeling.
Uh-huh.
So I said, I want to know the original truth. And it was either 1 or 2 days later, I ended up at the Govinda's Buffet in Denver, Colorado. And I'd eaten there a couple times before, but didn't realize it was connected to a religion or anything. And then that day I did. And then I decided to go get a book. But I was going to give it to my Indian friend who, long story short, gave them the book, and not realizing that was for me. 5 months later, they kind of read it, but they said, Krishna is God. He's the original Lord, and that you have to chant Hare Krishna mantra, and showed me how to do that. Instantly I believed it, instantly I was able to chant, and instantly I could read that book, and I read it cover to cover, and I knew it because I could read it, where before I couldn't even practically read children's books.
Wow.
I wasn't interested in what I was learning in school, but that just answered everything I could ever want to know.
Very nice.
And it was finished.
Wow.
Forever.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And I'm not coming back unless you make me.
Thank you very much, Jai Radhe, for sharing. Mahamaya will also share.
Yes. Mahamaya has a whole book. Hare Krishna. Well, I've told this story of seeing Srila Prabhupada for the first time before, but you know, I always forget to say that I realized in the moment I saw him that he was non-different than his photo. Than his photo.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my first experience was seeing Srila Prabhupada was in the old Brooklyn Temple on Henry Street. And it was the summer of 1971 where Prabhupada, and according to Leela Meech, it was 200 devotees got first and second. In that week, he had an initiation every day. So I was coming from Washington, D.C., and Srila Prabhupada was having initiations instead of Srimad Bhagavatam class.
Oh.
So seeing Srila Prabhupada for the first time was an evening class, and I had these doubts that Srila Prabhupada, that I actually was going to meet him, because I really loved reading the Bhagavad Gita, but I had this feeling like, how can the person who wrote this book be on this planet? I always had doubts, so. But I was thinking, but I'm going to, you know, meet him, and there were so many devotees in the temple. It was so crowded, and more devotees were in the hallway and couldn't fit in. So one devotee is going around tapping people on the shoulder. Can you leave? There's more people who have never seen Srila Prabhupada. And I'm like, well, I never saw Prabhupada. I wouldn't leave. I just wouldn't give up my spot. So anyway, at that moment that Prabhupada came through the door into the temple room, was like, I'm seeing an old friend who I so did not expect that I would feel like that.
Yeah.
And just all my doubts were just gone in that 1 second. Yeah.
Nice.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. That's such a wonderful description. Appreciate it. Anybody else want to share? Oh, it's Shesha Prabhu. Oh, and the, okay, Guru Prasad and then Shesha Prabhu. Okay, Shesha Prabhu first. Thank you, Jai Radhe.
So since Mahamaya mentioned that Prabhupada was non-different from his photograph, my experience at New Vrindavan was that Prabhupada was non-different than his voice. When he was giving a lecture, it was like, just like hearing it on a tape.
Mm.
The tape was, I was sort of blocked from seeing Prabhupada in the physical setup of the place, but hearing his voice, it was just the same as...
Just like his photo was the same as seeing him, and his voice was the same as the tape.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. So, you know, we're fortunate because, you know, Guru Prasad, you're next. We're fortunate because, you know, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, that 1/11th of a second, we have so much of it. I've mentioned it before, for the first time in history, we have so many primary sources available. All the videos, you know, all the books that Prabhupada translated, and then all the biographies as well, and all the conversation books have been written down. So these books, they're out there, and they're doing their work. So many stories of people who got books, they put it up on their bookshelf, and it just sat there for years, but it was doing its work. And then when somebody took it down, they were ready for it. They were able to read it and become devotees. So there, it's still happening. That's the beauty of it. Those seconds are still reverberating.
Thank you, Prabhu. So enlivening to be in the association of devotees. You know, I'm just having a little realization what it means, you know, 1/11th, the second of a moment association. You know, sometimes you get hit by something, or you hear class or something, and you find yourself thinking, even, you know, you may hear something for just a second, but you keep remembering, and then realization come from that, and come from that, and come from that.
Yeah.
So it's not just that moment, it's just like, it's a seed, and it's just, you know.
That's like true. That's, yeah. Yeah.
So the association is always there. It's just spreading and spreading and spreading. That's why I guess we're staying in the movement, because that moment, association, 1/11th of a second, you said?
Yeah, 1/11th, Lava Matra, 1/11th of a second.
Yeah.
We can't even really conceive of it, you know, huh?
And sometimes that same experience, you remember it in a different way. Sometimes I remember, oh, this devotee said something to me. I was a new devotee. Didn't have the adhikar, the potency to realize it then.
Yeah.
And then I said, oh my God, that's what he meant. Or you're reading something in Prabhupada's book, and then, wow, you get more and more realization. It's a living shastra. So that's my understanding what a moment association, mm-hmm. It planted a seed, and it's just mm-hmm. growing and growing and growing.
Yeah, and the beauty of serving, because like they said, the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat, so if you're serving the person Bhagavat, you will get all the understanding, realization of the person Bhagavat, you know, of the book Bhagavat. So that's incredible, you know, that can happen. But, you know, we've seen that happen, even as new devotees, you know, being out on the street and not really knowing that much, but when we're preaching to somebody, all of a sudden it's just flowing, like Krishna's just giving it, so we can help somebody else. So
generation, like, or children or grandchildren, you know, they've never met Prabhupada per se, but just from our association or something, you know, mm-hmm. they love Prabhupada.
And their past lives, you know, just
yeah, right.
Being born into such a situation. Mm-hmm. But like there was one young man I met recently, And I was asking, he's been, you know, a devotee for a few years. I asked him, well, how did you become a devotee? He goes, well, you know, I just really wanted to know the truth. And I kept on praying. And he said, I was fasting and praying. And then in his job, he said, it took me to a devotee's house. And I saw an altar, you know. And so I started asking questions. He goes, and then my job took me to Krishna house to do some work. So I learned all about that. So that's how he became a devotee. So it's like a sincere seeker, you know, that, yeah, Krishna comes, you know. If you want to know the truth, like Jai Shri Radha was saying, if you want to know the truth, Krishna will come to you, you know. Anyway, thank you so much for coming. Hare Krishna.